It all started 6 months before X Day, when Oliver Stanstead and Marlene Dixon visited the Pennsylvania Institute for Women in Muncie. Oliver trotted eagerly in first, like a wet surfer trying so desperately not to miss his second wave. He had thin brown hair that hung limply around the cherry contour of his face in a style that was probably at least a decade behind the times. I know this because it was the hairstyle of choice when I was arrested. A lone dimple nicked the center of his chin in a clean gunshot. I was in the diminutive holding cell with the telephone receivers where they dragged me whenever I had a visitor. Visitors weren't rare, a story for the local newspaper, a feature for a news magazine television series, a book deal. But when Oliver Stanstead came up for his first breath, firm but anxious, steady but nervous, 20, maybe 25, I realized that my expectations would quickly need readjustment. "Noah, is it?" he said, speaking impossibly close to the receiver. "Noah Singleton?" The aristocratic "Noah, is it?" British phrasing of his greeting skipped upward at the end of the statement as if it were a posh question in one syllable. Confidence and naivete burst in the same hyper-enunciated greeting. "My name is Oliver Stanstead, and I'm a lawyer in Philadelphia," he said, looking down to his little script. His was handwritten in red ink. "I work for a non-profit organization that represents inmates on death row and at various other points of the appeals process, and I've just recently been appointed to your case." "Okay," I said, staring at him. He was not the first wide-eyed advocate to use me as a bullet point on his climb to success. I was used to these unexpected visits. The local news reporters shortly after I was arrested, the national ones after my conviction, the appointed appellate lawyers year after begrudging year as I was drafted into the futile cycle of appeals without anyone truly listening to me explain that I had no interest in pursuing further legal action, that I just wanted to get to November 7th as quickly as possible. They, like this new one, had no concern for my choices. "So what do you want with me?" I asked. "I'm out of appeals. They're killing me in November. First woman to fry in years. You read the news, don't you?" Mr. Oliver Stanstead forced another smile to replicate the one that had deflated while I spoke. He ran his fingers through his hair, pulling it out of the clean part on the side, all in order to appear the very image of a public interest lawyer, a die-hard anti-death penalty advocate who chose to marry the alleged system of justice instead of entering a legal union of his own. And, like all the others who came to me before the middle-age conversion of republicanism set in, even his voice was typecast to match his hairstyle and choice of wardrobe. Docile as a prostrated ocean, as if he had slipped from his mother's womb begging for a non-profit position and studio apartment to match. I hated him instantly. "Well, despite the fact that you're out of appeals, I've been chatting with some of your lawyers and..." "Which ones?" I jumped. "Stuart Harris? Madison McCall?" I'd been sitting in this cubicle for nearly a decade, listening to a veritable rainbow of lawyers talk at me about the lowly little trial attorneys they thought screwed me over. "Tell me this, Mr. Oliver Stanstead. Why am I supposed to sit here and destroy their careers just so you can feel like you're doing the right thing?" He smiled again, as if I had just complimented him. "Well, I've spoken with Mr. Harris about some of the things that happened at your trial." "Harris is useless. What about McCall?" He nodded, and I could tell he'd prepared for this visit. "Unfortunately, he's since passed."